Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $135 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make a $135 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Do we pray that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away? Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword. As was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
That's a scene from the 2012 movie Lincoln. It was Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address in March of 1865, where he quotes from Psalm 19. You heard the words, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Why is it that a man like Lincoln, not so far from us in American history, was able so easily to recall and to quote from Holy Scripture? Presidents still do it now, but they have speechwriters who do it for them and for political effect. Why was Lincoln so influenced by the word and the style of Holy Scripture? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about that very subject that was the subject of a Wall Street Journal column titled, "What the Bible Taught Abraham Lincoln About America." Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest. Then we'll be going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. You can join us with questions or comments. Our in-studio call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And that Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a Wall Street Journal column titled, "What the Bible Taught Lincoln About America," Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of several books, including How Christianity Changed the World. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
Why was Lincoln in particular so familiar with Holy Scripture, not only its wording, but also its style?
I know of no one ever who specifically said what, but he grew up, his parents were Baptist, very zealously so, and so he obviously must have learned very early something about the Bible. It seems like in his early part of his life, he seems to remember more of the Old Testament than he did of the New. He was very much influenced by the King James Version. The article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday indicates that too. In fact, I'll read just one of the verses. You and I know that it comes from Psalm 90, where the King James Version used to say, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Now, the modern translation, including the New King James Version, no longer reads that way. The 80 and 70 years are no longer found, I don't think, in any Bible translation since then. But that particular phraseology not only had a particular poetic ring to it, but it also impressed Lincoln. And we know also from other readings of Lincoln that very much of the English language, of which he was a good wordsmith, so to speak, for example, in the Gettysburg Address a number of years later, again, he indicates his very strong command of the English language. And he undoubtedly had a great deal of this learning experience from knowing the Old Testament or the King James Bible. He spoke about the Bible quite frequently, and he also, for example, picked up a theme that the article only basically very, very weakly alludes to. The founding fathers, for example, on July 4, 1776, that's the day that we celebrate, but only two people signed the Declaration of Independence that day, and one was Charles Thompson and John Hancock. The others didn't sign it until August. But on that same day, July the 4th, Jefferson and some other people, including Thomas, were engaged in designing what later on became called the Great Seal of the United States. But in the first attempt, Jefferson, I have it in my files, for example, drew a picture that he thought should be part of the Great Seal, and it picks up on the children of Israel in the wilderness and graphically depicts their trek from Egypt to the Promised Land. Why did he pick that picture? Because he and others, and Lincoln still echoes some of that, saw the United States as the new Israel that provided freedom for people, as, for example, in the Old Testament, the Exodus provided freedom from slavery out of Egypt as they pursued to the Promised Land. And Lincoln, by the way, very much picked that up, for example, as well. For instance, the article alludes to the fact that Lincoln saw Independence Hall in Philadelphia, United States Jerusalem, which again is this influence that they had that the United States was the Promised Land. And Lincoln echoed that also, for example, in some of his other speeches. Back to the initial question that you had, for example, how did he learn about the Bible? Well, he basically taught it himself because Lincoln, all told, was not an individual who attended school. He was a self-taught man. But apparently some of that, obviously, he learned when he went to church with his parents. And I might mention as well, he did already, when he did that, he didn't always very much agree. One thing that we discover about Lincoln, no matter what you read, he was indeed, or he became, a religious man. In the early years, he was somewhat of a scoffer. And then he realized that that was not going to get him very far politically speaking. So he began to change, and maybe in the change, he also began to believe a little more. He was known to say, for example, I have never belittled the Bible, but he would never also say that he has confirmed the Bible. And he, as a rule, didn't make any references, as, of course, he's no exception here. Most of the American presidents have studiously avoided referring to Jesus Christ. And numerous articles have been written, books have been written, asking whether he was a Christian. He never said he was, he never said that he wasn't, but he never left a paper trail behind him, if I may use that term, that indicates that he really was. For example, we also know that he did not like creeds. And that, again, was, and in his early life, he was referred to negatively as a deist. Again, deists didn't care for creeds. And some of the founding fathers, including Jefferson and Franklin themselves, were deists. So he was, in a sense, part of that line of early Americans, even though he now speaks about 100 years after, almost, after the Declaration of Independence was formulated.
When they call Lincoln, at the beginning of this article, the 16th president evolved into a theologian of the American idea, what do you think the writer is getting at there, Dr. Schmidt?
Well, I think they have in mind what I was just mentioning, basically, that somehow he saw this country as a new Israel, and that term was used quite a bit. Now, I have not seen him using it, but I did, as I mentioned a moment ago, he saw the Independence Hall in Philadelphia as the new Jerusalem. So basically, they're obviously, or the article does, interpret or understand theologian in a very broad and somewhat loose sense, but basically indicates that he was an individual who did recognize the role, and he did so particularly once the Civil War really got underway and brutalities beyond imaginable expectations. He became more sensitive or more tuned. In fact, he says it's something that if it weren't for his being able to pray to God, he would not have been able to survive the difficulties he had as president during the Civil War.
So do you think he was a man who believed what Scripture said or saw an affinity between the American experience of his time and the events of Scripture?
Yes, he did. And, you know, even in his second inauguration, a month in March of 1865, a month before he was assassinated, he again picks up a great deal of the theme of religion. For example, he quotes the New Testament number of times, "Let us not judge one another," which is basically a paraphrase from Matthew 7, verse 1. He also quotes Matthew in the 18th chapter, the 7th verse, "Woe unto you whom offenses come." He very often paraphrased them a little bit, but he always had enough of direct words from the Bible to indicate where he picked up these statements. He also talked in the second inauguration address about divine retribution relative to the things that both the North and the South did in the Civil War. Now, this in itself is an interesting comment, and again, that picks up, if you will, from Scripture. The Old Testament, for example, frequently talks about divine retribution in terms of what the Israelites did when they disobeyed the commands and the Word of God. Back in, what was it, when Katrina took place in 2015, some individuals, there were quite a few that echoed that what happened in Katrina was God's judgment, and all H, if I may use that word, broke loose in the media, for example. In other words, to talk about America being judged, or in this case, New Orleans, was rather uncouth, maybe even unbiblical. Yet, Abraham Lincoln did that as well. And he talks about, in his second inauguration speech, about binding up the nation's wounds, which is a reflection of Psalm 147, the third verse. So again, there he reveals his familiarity with the Scriptures. So what we can say, for example, that he was definitely an individual who was and had become a firm believer in God, but not in a Trinitarian sense. And this, again, is not atypical. I have a book, for example, written by a friend of mine, William Federer, a person from St. Louis, who has the prayers of all the presidents. And every one of them, this book was published about 4 or 5 years ago, every one of them in their prayers or in their statements, as a rule, does not refer to Jesus Christ. And so Lincoln was part of that vintage, if I may say, and nothing much has really changed, even to this day. When the president talks about things religiously speaking, they do not have a strong Christian tone. And you and I know that there are a lot of people that talk about us being a Christian nation. Well, we never have been a Christian nation. They fail to distinguish between a Christian nation and a country that was greatly influenced by Christian values. The two are by no means the same. Our Constitution doesn't even have the word God in it. The oath of office that the president takes at the end of the Constitution, so help me God, is not part of the Constitution. George Washington ad-libbed that in his first inaugural address, and every president has done it since. In fact, when the Constitution was up for the states to accept him, someone asked Alexander Hamilton from New York, "How come you don't have the word God in the Constitution?" And his reply was, whether it was truthful or not, I don't know, he says, "Well, we must have overlooked it. Frankly, I don't think they overlooked it. There were a number of people in the Constitution Committee that did not, what were basically deists, and they were not about to give any impression. Now, they could have even used the word God because the deists weren't opposed to using it, but certainly that did not make the Constitution a Christian document. And so we are a country that's been influenced by Christian values. We have never been a country that is a Christian nation. Had it been so, it would have to include something akin to the Apostles' Creed. That, of course, is nowhere even close to be found in any of our founding documents.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Dr. Alvin Schmidt about a Wall Street Journal column titled What the Bible Taught Lincoln About America. It mentions a painting of the American flag on which the man who gave the gift to the president wrote some passages from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament.
If there was a pill I could give you that would make you immortal, how much would you pay for it?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Without Flesh.
Because you see, that's exactly what we have. And it's priceless, but it's also free. So why is it that nobody's coming to our churches to get this immortality? I mean, we can say that it's all their fault, or maybe there's something about it that we've forgotten.
Learn more and purchase Without Flesh at issuesetc.org.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a Wall Street Journal column titled What the Bible Taught Lincoln About America. Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, is our guest. The column mentions a painting of an American flag that had some Hebrew writing from the book of Joshua that the president was given and then, I think, brought to the White House with him. What would you tell us about that?
Yes. In fact, in February of 1861, 1 month before Lincoln was inaugurated, a Jewish individual by the name of Abraham Cohn, K-O-H-N, a recent immigrant from Bavaria, a devout Jew, and a strong believer in the American idea of a republican form of government, sent him a painting, for example, depicting the American flag. And then he quotes from Joshua, "As I was with Moses, as I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be good of good courage. Be not affrighted, neither be thou deceived. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever you go. Basically, this individual saw Abraham, again, we come to the theme of the new Israel, in a sense, of being the leader of the freeing the American slaves, similar to what Moses did to the Israelites leaving Egypt to go to the Promised Land. This picture that he gave to Lincoln a month before he was inaugurated as president, used it and hung it in his office, apparently was very influential in Lincoln's life later on, soon after he became president, when the war broke out, and again indicates that the influence of the Old Testament example of slaves and the United States being a new Israel, that's the term that even Jefferson used, was picked up, and it greatly influenced Lincoln in terms of what and how he handled the war. That he saw himself, I can't say for sure that I can find an exact quote, that he was basically the new Moses. But what I've read, I'm persuaded that he pretty much saw himself that light, although in that light, but he never as such used those exact words. And why would he have honored that particular painting that much if he didn't have that self-concept of his role as president at the time he served during the Civil War?
I'm curious about the events that were kind of surrounding his assassination, that he was, I think, at his second inaugural address, you made mention of the fact that he was directly quoting Scripture.
Yes, he did. He quoted the era at least, I think, a half a dozen times. So again, indicates that he grew, if you may use that word, in terms of his conviction about the role of God in whatever happens, whether it's war or peace, which is basically a very different kind of Lincoln than what he was in his early life. There is evidence that he sometimes mocked some of the things in his early life pertaining to what he heard from preachers and so on. There's even evidence that he, in his early life, saw Jesus as an illegitimate offspring. So there, as you know, there have been more than enough books written about Lincoln, and all these things I have picked up over the years have surfaced in these books. How true they were, we'll probably never know. But the fact that he became a stronger believer in the role of the divine, if I may use that word, is definitely undeniable. And as I said before, that he was a Christian, they did not say that he was, he did not say that he wasn't. And he left really no evidence for anyone to make an argument that he was, although there have been many individuals who have called him and referred to him as a Christian. And as I said also earlier, he did not like creeds, and to my understanding and knowledge, he never changed his opinion on that particular matter either.
So finally, while Abraham Lincoln may not have been an Orthodox Christian, should we be thankful, however, that he clearly had a belief in natural law?
Oh, definitely. Exactly. I mean, this is something that, for example, we have lost today. In that, for example, we in our secularization, to mention God in any, not all have we not seen happen in recent years in terms of removing God from national monuments and everything else that where it might appear. And so, yes, he was not a Christian. And God frequently uses people who are not Christians to accomplish his will. He did it in the Old Testament, for example. And he continues to do it to this day. And so, yes, we should be thankful for it. The fact that he wasn't a Christian, most likely he wasn't. I have no evidence to say that he was. Nevertheless, God used him, and God used a lot of people over the course of human history that were often not very divinely oriented.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of several books, including How Christianity Changed the World. You can purchase this book on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Schmidt, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
When we come back, we'll be going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Stay tuned.
Preach the gospel at all times. Use words when necessary. I prefer St. Paul, who says, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And that's what the February issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, hearing and believing. It includes articles about hearing with your eyes, singing the gospel, listening to the word of God in sermons, and proclaiming the gospel in foreign lands. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Ad Crucem has crafted a series of posters to put what we believe, teach, and confess on display. See our Luther's Daily Prayers, the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Liturgical Calendar, John 1 in Latin, and coming soon, the Athanasian Creed. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study Jesus prays for the preservation of his disciples. Jesus prays for future believers. Jesus is arrested. Peter's first denial. And Jesus delivered to Pilate. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.